Good morning, members and audience. We're going to begin today's meeting of the Labor, Workplace, and Regulated Industries. We're going to call the meeting to order. And Representative Sadek, if you'd be so good to move approval of the minutes from February 13th.
I move to approve the minutes.
The minutes are moved. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Representative Lesh, welcome to the committee. I'm going to go ahead and move that House File 389 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Public Safety and Finance.
Excellent.
So, what we'll do is, if you'd be so good as to present your bill, and then we're going to have testimony from those for and against, and anyone in the audience who wishes to testify. But why don't you start off by presenting your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just going to be really brief on this because Patrick Fusick is going to come down and kind of give the details for you. But members, we pay for 911 in this state with a charge to consumers on their phone bills. With some of these phones, we're unable to collect the charge, so this imposes the charge so we can pay for our 911. People may remember that Representative Loon carried this in previous years, and it passed with out or very little opposition whatsoever, so you probably all voted for it, those that you were coming back. And that's all I'll say for now, and I'd ask if Mr. Fusick can come down.
Thank you, Representative Lesh. I think we have a couple of testifiers to Mr. Fusick from Sprint. You hear? Oh, there he is. If you identify yourself for the record, Mr. Fusick, and
yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Patrick Fusick, and I'm the Director of State Government Affairs for Sprint in our West region. I'm located out in Kansas City, so it's happy to be up here where it's nice and warm compared to Kansas City. So thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to provide our comments, and this bill, we think it's obviously, as the representative mentioned, a way to treat this process as far as collecting E911 fees from prepaid customers in a fair and equitable manner. When I speak today, I'm speaking on behalf of Sprint and our association of carriers, CTIA, which is the Cellular Telephone and Internet Association, which is an umbrella association representing all the telephone cell phone companies, Sprint, AT&T, Verizon, U.S. Cellular, TracFone, T-Mobile. So all of those entities I'm here representing as far as showing support for this legislation. As you heard, you've dealt with this issue before. Obviously, the big focus is that the folks who are purchasing prepaid products are not directly paying into the 911 system here in Minnesota. So when they go to the Best Buy or wherever they purchase that product, whether it be a retail, large retailer like a Best Buy or Target or a small mom and pop, or coming into one of the carrier's retail stores, here in Minnesota, they're not actually contributing like you would be or I would be on a postpaid when you get a monthly bill and that assessment is on your bill. As you know, currently in Minnesota, the fee for those of us on a postpaid product here is 82 cents. Is my understanding, and that obviously is paid as you get your bill and you're contributing. Again, the shift in this, the concern about shifting the policy would be so that those folks who are actually purchasing prepaid are paying into the system. One of the concerns too is that, you know, we as retailers, we would have to apply this, but a lot of the 70% of what we sell as prepaid products are done at the big boxes, the retailers like Best Buy and so forth. So we the providers aren't seeing a majority of the portion of the sales that we do. It's done through those other third party outlets. So that's again one of the reasons to shift this policy here in the state of Minnesota. And also another, you know, almost another interesting fact is more and more folks are turning to a prepaid product because they don't have a contract. They might just be wanting to not be bound to a carrier for a certain period of time. They just want something that kind of pay as they go. So more and more people, about almost, I think it's we're at like 22% of the market now. Just a few years ago, it was about 16% is prepaid. So that seems to be growing, and I think in our position further emphasizes the need to shift so that those folks are actually paying into the 911 system. it's one of the things that, just to kind of give you the background on how this came about, the NCSL, National Conference of State Legislators, had put up a policy or developed a policy model bill based upon input from the industry. We sat down with public safety and other interested parties and developed this legislation. And since that time, it's been about 3 or 4 years now, we start going into our fourth year, 26 states have adopted similar legislation that would require the prepaid prepaid customers to pay 911 at the point of sale. So that's the gist of this legislation, is that it would require a retailer to collect a percentage or a 80 cents on the purchase of that product at that point of sale, and then remit that to the Department of Revenue or your Commissioner of Revenue here, as opposed to just not paying in at all and not even, you know, contributing to that fund. So the provisions in the bill that, again, is the model bill that are included in Senate House File 389 deal with standard definitions that allow prepaid retailers to comply with the modifications of this point-of-sale software system, single remittance to the Department of Revenue or Commissioner of Revenue here. Customers who purchase the product will have paid that fee and will not have to they either pay at the point of sale, they're not doing that now, and that's the key of the bill, is to have them purchase it or pay the fee at the point of sale. The retailers then would remit that. And again, Sprint, you know, we're in the same boat. We're a retailer. We'll have to collect it in our retail stores. And the benefit is, again, to move those folks from being able to call 911. They have that ability with a prepaid product, but they're just not contributing in. And I think the public policy should be shifted so that they have the responsibility. Obviously, they can use the prepaid products to call 911, and it's fully functional, but they're just not contributing on an individual basis. You know, I've worked on this piece of legislation, that this prepaid point of sale, in multiple states, and it's difficult. You've got a lot of players involved. What's the impact as far as, you know, the small mom and pops and having to add more money or having to collect for another item? Obviously, they're collecting sales tax now. I think the initial kind of concern is sometimes once you implement the program, at least in our experience, that in our own stores, it's not that bad to do, and it's just something you have to, you know, adjust to and so forth. But I guess one other point is that as retailers, we're going to do this. No one is forcing anyone to sell these products. I mean, prepaid products obviously must have some type of a margin. They wouldn't be selling them whether you're a large big box or a small mom and pop. So if the burden becomes too much, if someone feels that, you know, they just don't want to collect the remit, they're not obligated, they're not forced to sell the product. So we think it's an excellent way to move the policy in the state of Minnesota so that they're collecting it at the point of sale, and they're contributing into the fund. And Mr. Chairman, I will stop there and answer any questions that members may have.
Thank you, Mr. Fusick. Members, we have looks like three people to testify, Mr. Fusick being one, and we'll take questions for Mr. Fusick if there is any right now. Otherwise, we'll move on to the second testifier. Seeing none, thank you very much. You'll be around, and
thank
the committee
you.
Has any questions.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Franklin, let's hear what you have to say. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead and identify yourself. And
thank you. Jim Franklin, Executive Director for the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, speaking today on behalf of the Sheriff's Association and Police Chiefs Association. I do have a letter or handout here from the Chiefs Association, if we could pass this around. I'll be very brief. 911 communications is extremely important. We'll just take care of this the old-fashioned way. 911 communications is extremely important to us on a daily basis. I don't have to tell you about the changes that are occurring in technology. It is fast moving, and we are struggling to keep up. Every dollar that we can accumulate that helps us, we are in favor of, and this particular bill does help in the collection methodology. So with that, I will conclude. We think it is a good bill. We've been working on it for several years. We think it's a good collection methodology, and it is funds that will continue to build out and help us remodel, keep up to the ever-changing technological needs in our communications field.
Thank you, Mr. Franklin. Any questions for Mr. Franklin from the Minnesota Sheriff's Association?
Thank you.
Seeing none, thank you very much. We also have a third testifier, Jamie Fuel, if I'm getting that name right.
Cool. Yeah.
That'd make more sense. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
And if you'd identify yourself for the record and give your testimony, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for giving me your time this morning. I'm Jamie Poole, president of the Minnesota Grocers Association. We do have some concerns and are in opposition of House File 389. The Minnesota Grocers Association is a state trade association that represents the retail food industry for over 115 years. We have over 200 retail members across the state with 1,100 stores statewide. We also have some distributor and manufacturer partners as well. We employ over 125,000 union and non-union employees. Minnesota is fortunate in that we have a very unique culture with small and independent, locally owned grocery and convenience stores who are the cornerstones of their community. We create jobs, support local charities, provide safe and responsible shopping experience. Our concerns today with this bill are about the shift in the responsibility of the E911 fee. It shifts the responsibility to these local businesses selling the prepaid wireless cards on behalf of these national companies. Obviously, as members of our local communities, we strongly support the funding of E911 and the 911 services. We acknowledge that there needs to be mechanisms to support these programs. What we are just here to talk about is how we pay for these programs and how the funding gets in. When a phone is a prepaid mobile card, obviously, as you heard about from Sprint, that E911 fee is submitted when it is activated through the card or when the minutes are activated by the national wireless carrier. This bill directly shifts those costs to Minnesota local grocers and convenience stores that are selling the product. It requires each retailer to take the prepaid wireless service collection fee of 80 cents right now for the E911 fee plus the Minnesota access fee. The fee must be itemized as a separate line item on all receipts, which requires the retailer to set up new systems. Now, certainly some of your larger stores, and as you've heard from Sprint and the folks that are selling them through them, they do have the mechanisms because they're already getting that funding on the bills right now. So they've got systems in place where they are receiving that money and they are submitting it to the states. This requires the retailers and the convenience stores to create this new line item and make a separate statement, again, adding a little more burden and responsibility back to retail. The fees that are collected obviously must be sent into the Department of Revenue. This creates a new stream all the way through the Department of Revenue. We do collect sales tax and submit that, and the bill is set up to mirror some of that, but again, it's a separate line item, separate notation, and a separate way to submit. According to the language in the bill, the department shall post notice of any fee changes on its website at least 30 days in advance of the effective date of the fee change. It is the responsibility of the seller to monitor the department's website for notice of fee changes. This again creates an additional administrative burden and a complicated system for us to make sure that we are charging the appropriate fee, and it also, I think, creates great potential for inconsistencies. The legislation does allow the retailer to retain 3% of the combined fee for administration, which is about 2 to 3 cents per card sold. There is no provision for upfront costs in setting up this new system. I think that's one of our great concerns, is that if we are looking at making this shift, though there is some trends nationally, is this the appropriate time to be doing this? And if it is, how can we ensure that our small mom and pops are able to do this? We obviously appreciate the opportunity to work with these carriers to sell the prepaid wire services. It allows us the ability to differentiate and to provide one-stop shopping for Minnesota families. But this bill does create additional uncompetitive disadvantages to the brick-and-mortar retail, as there is no way to address the online purchases. It does say that online purchases are treated the same as any sales tax collecting item in the state, and right now there is no mechanism to collect sales tax for those online purchases. I know the legislature is working on addressing that through the affiliate nexus, and I'm curious as if this bill should not possibly wait until that is in place so that we are creating a fair system to collect these fees and making sure we're getting all the fees. It is a growing mechanism. People are going to these prepaid cards. But we purchased one at the MGA just to see how it worked, and we did it in 15 minutes online. So you're, again, really, if there's no additional fee and none of this on the online purchase, we're creating a real disadvantage. We believe the bill's not ready to move forward. Unfortunately, we tried to reach out and work with Representative Lesh, and I'm sure he's willing to work with us on this. But we do believe it needs time to flush out some of these additional details. So with that, I'll happy to stand for questions. I appreciate your time this morning.
Well, thank you very much for your testimony. I see we have a question from a representative. Before we move on to that, is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify this morning on this bill? Doesn't look like it. Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for being a couple of minutes late, and this might have been already brought up, but this is both for the author and the testifier. But so why did we arrive at 80 cents? Is that because you've found that in another bill and NCSL, or what's the 80 cents from for sure?
Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, that is the statutory set amount that everyone charges now. This would just be applying that same fee to the prepaid services.
Okay.
Representative Benson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the representative again. I mean, we've seen the governor's tax proposal, and we're raising sales tax on lowering it but increasing it in terms of spreading it across. And I'm very sensitive to the need of our law enforcement and to maintain the 911 service in the best possible way. Is it really time right now to add another? I mean, we're going to add a bunch more taxes. Is it the proper time to add another 80-cent tax? I mean, why not? I mean, statutorily it's 80 cents, but we could change that again in 2 years, and now it's a buck. And any sensitivity to it all that here's another tax we're adding on?
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, I think you're right, actually. In the grand scheme of things, I think these things should be, like, including our 911 emergency services for the state of Minnesota, should be funded through the general fund. They should be funded from a statewide level. Everyone participates. Everyone benefits from the security that 911 services provides us, and they should be funded from the general fund. Unfortunately, as you've seen over the course of the reduction of revenue from the state of Minnesota, people have gotten their services funded through these little different taxes that we impose on different levels, and they're all over the place. This is one of those that was passed years ago in order to fund 911, and as you see around here, everyone wants a dedicated source to fund their project too, rather than having to come up to the legislature and fight for it every year. And law enforcement really appreciates the dedicated source for 911, so they know it's not gonna disappear. I think they should be funded through the general fund. That said, we're not adding another tax here. This mostly comes down to the dispute between how people generally agree that prepaid phone services should also be paying this fee. The problem is the issue with collecting it, because these people don't get an individual itemized bill. They pay for it at the point of sale. So it's how to collect what's up to 22% of the market, a shrinking share of the base from which law enforcement can receive this fee. So it's that nuanced dispute because of the entry into the market of an increasing share of prepaid services.
No other questions.
All right. Thank you very much. Members, any other questions at this time? Representative O'Driscoll.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lesh, thank you for bringing this forward. I don't think there's anybody in this room or in Minnesota that doesn't think that there's a value to the 911 system, that it saves lives, it gets response out there as quickly as possible. And there's no question that as things have morphed over time here from a landline system where we were able to add on a line item to people's phone bills for the 911 service, as the technologies have changed and as people have become more wireless, more mobile, that we've got leakage on here. And that's a system that everybody who picks up a phone, whether it's a prepaid phone or a landline phone, has the general expectation when they dial 911, there's somebody on the other end of the line to help. So again, I appreciate you bringing this forward, and you're right, Representative Loon attempted this last year. And I'm supportive of this, but I want to know if there's a way that we can back it up in the food chain, if you will, on here, so that when someone goes to a retailer or to the final point of purchase, that they simply pay a fee, and then all of the federal fees and the state fees and the 911 fees and all of the other access fees are paid for all at one time. Are we able to do that? Does anybody know?
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Driscoll, I think that's what people have been banging their heads against a brick wall over for the past few years on this. I think you're right, if there are a way to do that. But different statutory schemes provide for different payors for these different fees. You got, as you stated, those different fees that are available. The statute in Minnesota says this is payable by the consumer, which is why we run into this problem. I'm sensitive to the grocer's concerns, absolutely. I'm a small business person, too. I understand nickel and diming from an administrative level of what you have to do based upon the percentage of sales that your store has of these prepaid phones. I am sensitive to it, so I'm continuing to look for options, and we're in conversations to see how we can do that. But I don't have a real solid answer for you at this point.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lesh, thank you. Because I think that that's kind of the unknown for a lot of us on this. And the fear that I have is that as we continue to evolve and morph as a society on this, more and more people are going to go to the wireless options and or portable options. And I fear that if we get into a situation where the grocery stores or the retailers, the one who has to ultimately reprogram, to collect that fee and handle that fee and process it, they may just make a business decision saying, you know what, our margins on this product aren't worth it. I'll dedicate shelf space to something else. And my fear is that we'll close out the ability for some in our society and some of our communities to be able to have phone access and ultimately 911 access. And so I'm just concerned about balancing the scales on this, that retailers, mom and pops, the local grocery store, in greater Minnesota just says, you know what, I'm done. It's just not a worthwhile product. And I don't know the margins and all the business ins and outs on it. But that's the thing that occurs to me. And again, maybe it's more of a statement than there is an answer to that question. Maybe somebody who knows more about this can volunteer the margins on this, or is it a high profit, or is it a low margin business, or what have you. But that's one of the ultimate concerns that I have of shifting the matrix on this.
Understood. And if I could just respond to that, Mr. Chair. I agree, Representative Driscoll. I think the problem arises actually on the inverse where you spoke about. I think it where it's a lower percentage of the retailer sales is when it becomes a larger administrative burden. If you're selling five phones and you have to do a separate administrative function along with your sales tax reports and everything like that, it's a total pain. If you're doing a large volume in phones, it's still a pain, but you're making a lot more money off the phones to deal with it. Now, these are small retailers in my neighborhood who sell to my constituents. So, absolutely, I'm concerned about the availability of the service, and I'm thinking about that as we proceed through.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Lesh. Again, I think we're all on the same page. It's just about figuring out how to package that process as we move forward. The other question that I have is, this is a Department of Public Safety function, because that's where law enforcement and public safety all rolls up. What's going to the Department of Revenue, and this is a question I had last year when Representative Loon was carrying it, why would we put it to the Department of Revenue if we wanted to have a dedicated source? Why wouldn't we just put it into the Department of Public Safety, who are the folks that ultimately support and provide that service? It's kind of like every time somebody's hands touches it, there's administrative costs, and we would take that dollar amount for the 911 fees, and when revenue touches it, they have to process it and then turn it over to the Department of Public Safety. Wouldn't we want to just, for lack of a better term, cut the middleman out and just dedicate it directly to public safety so they'd have more dollars to support the system?
Mr. Chair, Representative Driscoll, I understand what you're saying, but the Department of Public Safety doesn't have any auditors or collections agents or administrative personnel for how we normally handle collection of revenue. They've got big boys with sticks, but they don't go out and audit the tape. So I think that's the problem, and revenue may be able to correct me on that. But I don't know of any situation where the agency that's actually getting it does the collection and auditing in lieu of revenue.
Just for the record, Minnesota is an equal opportunity employer, so I think there's girls who have big sticks over there as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the red flags that went up for me was when you said if there's any changes in the fees collected, that would be on a website. And I know how life goes and you're busy, and you're not going to be checking the Minnesota Department of Revenue's website. I don't think that's going to work. And so I wondered if that's if all of a sudden grocers are not in compliance because they were too busy to check the website, that there's going to be some kind of penalty. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I don't have the answer to that. Representative Kiefer, I haven't looked at the bill and through that lens, but we can get an answer back for you.
Thank you.
Very good. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Chair. From the Minnesota Grocers, I was just wondering, did you kind of quantify what kind of cost it's going to be to implement this new system?
Ms. Poole?
Mr. Chair, Representative, we are working with our retailers to find out the additional burdens on that, but we are looking, what our ask is that there's some kind of startup raising that percentage 2-3% just so that we're for like the first year so that we can do this. From our larger organizations that possibly have locations in other states, they may have the systems already in place, but it's the smaller ones that are going to have to create the whole system, and it's man hours and then just some reprogramming within the systems that can run anywhere from hundreds to thousands of dollars, plus the labor.
Okay.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Chair. So you don't have any dollar figures or percentages or man hours or anything quantified that we could?
Ms. Poole?
Chairman, Representative, not at this time.
Thank you.
Representative Driscoll.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering if Mr. Fusick could come back down from Sprint. I just have some questions on maybe just helping the committee, as Representative Less said. Many have had a chance to hear this before, but this committee in and of itself has 5 or 6 new members and just kind of background folks on this. Thank you, Mr. Fusick.
Yes,
could you explain to the committee a little bit about how when Sprint signs a contract, that there are the fees that are on there versus someone who may have a non-contract type of service and why that fee doesn't get calculated in, and just kind of review that for us and where the issue comes in.
Mr. Chair, Representative, well, obviously, so are you talking about, there's postpaid customers, obviously, that right now, as you said, the 80 cents that's on the postpaid customers, part of the bill, that's on the bill. It's paid on an annual or monthly basis per line. You have 5 phones, you're paying that times 5. On the prepaid side, there isn't that mechanism to bill them because, you know, whether they use a credit card online, walk into a retail store, pay cash, there's no identification or no exchange of ID or anything like that. So there's no monthly bill in which to assess the prepaid charge to them on the 911 fund on a prepaid basis. So is that addressing your question? I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Fusick, what I'm driving at is Sprint, if they provide this type of a service on a prepaid basis, you walk into X retailer and you buy the phone off the shelf. You certainly know that that's being sold in Minnesota, and there's a way to track that it was to this retailer. And so it's not that it's in 50 states, it's coming out of a warehouse somewhere. You have a tracking system. So could you build that into your pricing instead of $19.95, or make it round dollars, $20? Now it's $20.80 to be able to collect the monthly fee or however that would work.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we sell to like a wholesaler, like to a Best Buy or Walmart on the national level. So we'll sell, you know, millions of cards to that directly to Walmart, and they'll distribute them nationwide. So we're not going to know exactly where that card went. And, you know, again, 26 states have implemented this. So some states have done a set fee, like the 80 cents that's proposed here. Some have done a percentage of the sale, of whatever that sale is, by $50, it's 3% of that. So we wouldn't be able to track where all those cards go and how it's remitted. So I know for Sprint, I can speak on our behalf, how we've been doing it in the state of Minnesota is where we have X amount of customers, we'll remit that fee right now on their behalf. So while it's a burden to us because we're paying it on behalf of those customers, we feel that the best policy would be for the individual customer to pay for it directly because, again, they are getting the benefit of calling. And so I understand some of the concerns that you've raised, but our focus is to shift the burden to the end user who's benefiting to be able to call 911.
Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative O'Driscoll. Someone told me this the other day, I can't remember who it was, but TrackPhone, about which this legislation is about, essentially was paying fees in that way up to the point of about 10 years ago where they stopped because their general counsel told them, no, the legislation says that the consumer pays this. But prior to that, they were estimating based on certain systems that you speculated about, of how much they owe, and they pay the Department of Revenue. And their general counsel says, wait a second, the law says the consumer pays this, you don't have to pay it. And they're like, okay, so they stop. Now, I'm guessing the argument is someone else gets in the market and decides they don't have to pay, a competitor to TracFone or other prepaid service decides that they don't have to pay, and then it's a race to the bottom, lowest common denominator, how can we avoid most of the taxes? So that's how it occurred, but at one point it was happening that way.
And again, I appreciate the testifiers and the discussion we're having today, because there are new members to this, and it's, I think everyone wants the end goal. It's just how we kind of get there on that. And I want to just bring up some of the issues that have been discussed over the years on this. And my last question, Mr. Fusick, on this. Do you see, you talked about in mass you sell to a Best Buy or to some other kind of a massive electronics retailer, or even not necessarily electronics retailer, but a discount retailer, whatever the case may be. Do you also have a market for what's been referred to today as kind of the mom and pops? How would they end up getting your services? What's the distribution system for that?
Mr. Fusick?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I don't exactly know that level of the detail with regard to our marketing and how it gets out to those smaller, you know, mom and pop type of grocers. We have two products, Boost Mobile and then Virgin Mobile, are subsidiaries that do our primary, they are our prepaid products. So I could find that information out and get back to you. I understand, like you said, this I think is the third year you've dealt with it, and it's obviously a complex issue. Other states have taken that time to get it right as best they can. And while it's a model bill where, you know, you've got vendor fee and Department of Revenue fees to help them adjust and bring this new program in place, it's a model, and it's been changed in various states. I mean, where it's 3% is the model for the vendors. Some states have done less. Some states have not done any, because like in Kansas, they don't allow vendors to take any money, even for the sales tax. So you've got a variety of options with regard to changing it. Again, some states have added a little bit more, like I've heard that that's the concern of the grocers. So I'd be happy to get information about how it's processed as far as our products get to the smaller retails and get back to you.
Representative Driscoll?
It just occurs to me, Mr. Chair, Ms. Poole was here, and she represents the grocers. Maybe she has some insight on how her members might get that in the mom-and-pop side, as she had explained it.
Ms. Poole, did you want to take a stab at that? Ahead,
thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative, and I too, unfortunately, don't know the mechanism that those actually end up into our store. I'm guessing that from the way most of our products get in, it's through some type of brokerage, and it travels back all the way up the food chain, as it were, this time the phone chain. So, you know, I would assume that our larger carriers are going through their channels to get it down in. Obviously, Sprint is doing it in a direct to the larger manufacturers. A lot of what we're seeing is the TracFone, the Verifone, the third carriers, which I think is really what the point of this bill is trying to get at, because we do know that Sprint, AT&T, the larger carriers do have the mechanisms, and as he attested to, they are submitting that and making sure that that fund is whole and doing what's right. I do think there are some third-tier carriers that aren't necessarily following this, and this is what we're trying to protect against and put the burden back to retail. So I don't know that that answered it fully, but that's what I have, and I can do some more research as well, Representative, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Representative Benson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Lash, I agree with you in terms of sure be good if we could do our jobs here, and this is something that could come right out of the general fund. But it seems as though we're placing the burden to do our job on the retailers here. Just a question in terms of what the committee path is. Will this go to public safety next, then to taxes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, yes, and I think there's one other committee stop in there as well, but there's probably three more left.
So Representative Benson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So would this probably end up in an omnibus tax bill?
Representative Blush?
Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, I don't know. I haven't had conversations with the tax chair yet. That is one possibility, but I just don't have an answer for you because I haven't talked with the key people.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Members, any further discussion at this point? Seeing none, the chair renews his motion that House File 389 be recommended pass and be referred to the Committee on Public Safety, Finance, and Policy. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The bill is passed. Members, that's all we have before us. We do have a bill up tomorrow, so we'll see you tomorrow morning. Meeting's adjourned.